Welcome to Conversations with Leaders, an AWS podcast focused on personal lessons of leadership, culture, and technology from business leaders across the globe. Enjoy today's conversation.
Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Soderstrom. I am an enterprise strategist with AWS, and we have the pleasure of having an expert here today on AI and generative AI. And there's a lot of interest in generative AI. Often we see the answer is generative AI. Now what is the question? Well, you're going to hear some real expertise from Jason Dunn. And Jason, do you want to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Tom, for that introduction. My name is Jason Dunn. I'm an executive government advisor with Amazon Web Services. So my advisory team works with state, local government agencies, as well as higher education institutions all across the country.
So there seems to be a lot of interest in AI. Can you tell us more and why, especially in state and local governments?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of unique use cases that are continuing to emerge as we speak with and work with customers, again, all across the country. And what's really exciting is that we're moving quickly past more of the simplified artificial intelligence use cases, and we're now starting to see more enterprise scale applications that are being driven by artificial intelligence. And so take, for example, you know, a 311 center or a 911 call center, which every city, county, and state in America has one of those. And they're dealing with, for example, high hold times or staffing shortages and challenges. Being able to use an artificial intelligence generated chatbot to automate the process of handling and processing frequently asked questions or non-emergency calls is saving organizations a lot of time. Or, for example, you take, for instance, a metropolitan city that has hundreds, in some cases, thousands of neighborhood cameras and traffic cameras that are proliferating all throughout a city, many of which are being monitored by individuals or humans in real-time crime centers. So using object detection and image recognition to improve public safety and give first responders an additional resource as they try to protect and secure the cities and counties that they work in. Things like that, as well as use cases involving language translation, sentiment analysis and audio, being able to determine the quality of service that's being delivered, or perhaps even stress levels of first responders based on their radio transmissions or phone calls that emergency call takers are taking. All of these things are really use cases that are driving the curiosity and propelling people to start the journey that we talked about. Also, using artificial intelligence to help identify cybersecurity vulnerabilities. There's so many use cases that are starting to emerge. And what's really amazing to me, Tom, is that the customers are presenting the problems and solutions are being customized. So we're not talking about solutions that are in search of problems like we often see with a lot of emerging technologies.
Oh, those are some great use cases. What would you say are some of the key challenges that customers are facing?
You know, Tom, what we're seeing is some of the challenges are related to the technical uplift. There's a lot of knowledge gaps related to this new emerging technologies. And let's face it, many public sector organizations just don't have the capacity or the skill on staff or even the time available to build and work with large language models and start to architect a lot of these solutions. They tend to be buyers and not builders. And so they need partners like Amazon Web Services and professional service providers like those in our partner network to really help assist with that learning curve and those implementation processes. And we're also seeing a lot of concerns about data security, privacy, errors, and bias in the artificial intelligence output. So they need guardrails so that customer data is protected the way that it needs to be. Tools like Amazon Bedrock really shine on behalf of our customers. The thought of being able to utilize their own data in a large pre-trained language model in a secure manner. Again, the reality, most public sector agencies aren't going to be able to build a large language model. So being able to take advantage of that technology with a trusted partner is really a major advantage.
So from your knowledge and your deep dives here, is AI worth the cost for state and local governments and educational institutions?
I really do think it is. You know, there's not a public sector organization that isn't resource constrained in some way or that can't benefit from some sort of cost savings or greater efficiency and their citizen service delivery. And so well thought out use cases that are able to address specific agency problems are definitely worth the cost of looking into. And again, with the AWS cloud and many of the solutions that are coming out that are somewhat easy to implement, that are very cost effective, we're seeing a lot of our customers are quite surprised at the cost of doing business in this space. And it's something that's actually attainable and affordable for them. And then also with our AWS marketplace, customers are able to evaluate thousands of solutions. AWS has thousands of partners that are in the AWS marketplace. And so being able to see customer references, success stories, even able to see pricing information before they start their journey and start diving deep into the technology, that's a major advantage for customers. And then we have our Arizona State University Artificial Intelligence Cloud Innovation Center. It's a partnership between Amazon Web Services along with Arizona State University, where customers can explore POCs and proofs of concepts, and they can experiment at a safe sandbox-like environment with guardrails up so that they can really start to develop and experiment with some of the technology that they're exploring and solving problems that don't have an off-the-shelf solution that they can just purchase or procure. So a lot of those solutions, a lot of those resources are really helping customers in their journey.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And it's one of those where everybody is interested in it because it can generate benefits. The Gartner survey of 800 business executives stated that 51% of business and IT executives expect to add AI expertise to their staff, and that they anticipate 15% cost savings and 24% productivity improvement over the next 12 to 18 months. That's something that cannot be ignored. What would you recommend to our listeners? What's like one action that state and local governments organizations should take right away?
You know, Tom, I think it's important that organizations begin to educate themselves on how the technology actually works and then start looking for problem-solving use cases that they can begin to explore. Another one of our AWS artificial intelligence SMEs, he says that if artificial intelligence is a tool like a hammer, every problem we have is not a nail. So you've got to marry up the use case with the problem. And there seems to be a policy rush with a lot of legislation that's being written, and it's necessary to address ethical concerns, bias, appropriate organizational use cases. We're not saying that's a bad thing, but many of the policies that are being written seem to be written based on the way a lot of the technology works now, today, and it's early stage in many cases. And so again, tools like Amazon Bedrock and SageMaker are addressing technically what a lot of organizations are trying to solve with policy. And so in many cases, as the technology emerges, much of the policy that's being written will need to be adjusted or amended, and in some cases may not even be necessary depending on the use case that's being implemented. So I encourage organizations to work with organizations like Amazon Web Services and our partners to really understand how the technology works, to know and see what's on the horizon with the technology and how their concerns can be addressed technically as well as with the policies that they're drafting.
You mentioned that they need to educate themselves. Do you have any recommendations, any like quick hits of how can you educate yourself about AI?
Yeah, we certainly do. We have an AI use case explorer within AWS. Organizations can go in by market segment, whether it's government, higher education, utilities. They can begin to explore and look at referenceable customers and use cases that customers have had success with. Also, our training and certification teams. We have a wide variety of free training opportunities that are available at no cost, online, you know, in the cloud, where you can begin to explore and learn how a lot of these technologies are working. And then we have fun tools like Amazon Party Rock. You know, it's a playground built on Amazon Bedrock where individuals can learn to build generative AI tools and just tinker and play, all again at no cost in the cloud for free. So there's so many resources, so many places where you can educate yourself at no cost in a time-effective manner at your own pace to really begin to understand how the technology works and, more importantly, how you could potentially use it.
Oh, that's great advice, Jason. One of the things that I'm glad you mentioned, Party Rock, it's fun. And this journey of exploration and discovery should be fun. Is there one more piece of advice you can recommend for how to get started?
There is, Tom. You know, another important action for organizations is really to start preparing their data for artificial intelligence integrations. You think about the only difference between artificial intelligence and human intelligence is the technology, but it's all rooted in data. And so data is the foundation for all of these artificial intelligence technologies. So organizations need to make sure that they have modern data strategies, that they really look to start to eliminate or break down a lot of data silos that they may have to make AI integrations more seamless and secure. And then also customers are going to have to leverage the cloud for most of these artificial intelligence use cases. So developing a solid data strategy as well as a strong cloud strategy are early actions that organizations can take to begin to get themselves prepared as they explore.
It's a great point. As we talk to people across the world, large companies and smaller companies, we found that data is key.
We hope you're enjoying this discussion. To engage with other business leaders on these topics, follow us on LinkedIn at AWS Executive Insights. Now back to our conversation.
If we talk about the future, where do you see it going?
You know, Tom, the more complex technology becomes, so the simpler the user interface needs to become. And so we see that everything is going to become a conversation. And so you look at tools like Amazon Q and how we can start down the interactive conversational approach. You've got coding assistance. You've got testing assistance. You know, just how to set up in an Amazon environment. All of these things, there's automation is going to start really driving a lot of things. The life of software developers is going to get a lot easier. A lot of the developers and coders that we talk to are excited because you can get code recommendations that are based on successfully run code so that you're not having to type it, hammer out so many lines of code on your own. And so there's so much that's going to start to emerge where it's really going to start simplifying a lot of things that take up a lot of time and really slow down innovation processes. So that efficiency gain is really what's interesting to me. And then once we start talking about things like quantum computing and large, massive scales of data, being able to power through petabytes of data in hyperspeed type timeframes, it's really going to be exciting to see where it all takes us now that we've got the data and the horsepower to move through it and artificial intelligence to drive.
Completely agree. And like you said, the more complex IT becomes, the simpler the user interface needs to be. And what we've seen is, to amplify your point, is we've seen the cost of compute go down, the cost of storage goes down, the cost of networking has gone down, the cost of development has gone up. And that's where these coding assistants that you mentioned are going to be so dramatic, because they will make us much more productive. You know what the new coding language is?
What's that?
Natural language.
Natural language coding.
So everybody becomes a programmer.
I was going to say, Tom, you know, that really made me think about natural language coding and natural language query. So you take, for example, having a data mesh and having your data in a place for perhaps a virtual private cloud where, let's say, for instance, you're an organizational leader, a higher education institution or a city or county or state, and you've got 75 years of your historic financial data in a repository where you can now query it in a natural language manner from a prompt just to ask a simple question. How much just having those answers at your fingertips will make decision-making, evidence-based decision-making, having single sources of truth, it's going to make organizational internal decision-making processes so much more impactful when you have that data and the information presented in a manner that you can really understand simply or query simply.
No, I completely agree.
How much have I spent on a certain commodity code over the last 15 years? Having that at your fingertips really will make executive leaders much more efficient.
So we talked about state and local, and a lot of state and local is funding educational institutions. What are some use cases for educational institutions and what challenges are they facing, if they're any different from the state and local?
Yeah, you know, higher education and educational institutions are really unique use cases from artificial intelligence. The teaching professionals that I've spoken with in a number of K-12 and higher education environments, the initial concerns were about academic integrity and the negative impact that artificial intelligence could have on economic growth of students. And that was the initial focus. But now we're starting to see, again, as the technology is becoming more widely understood, as use cases are being explored, they're beginning to see how artificial intelligence can enhance student outcomes, improve research capabilities, add value for students in the classroom. They're seeing that that's becoming more of the focus as opposed to cheating or using artificial intelligence to help you write your term paper. It's helping students identify the most ideal learning paths for them, perhaps determining what courses they should take based on their educational history as well as what their career goals are. Also using artificial intelligence as a companion for educators, helping the teachers in the classroom, developing lesson plans, finding academic resources, conducting student learning assessments. A lot of ed techs are looking down that road. So it's become more about embracing artificial intelligence to improve the quality of education rather than immediately dismissing it over concerns about academic integrity. And that's really good to see. Those concerns still exist and there's merit in them. And so obviously policies related to appropriate use and when students can and can't use certain tools is definitely important. But the positive aspects of artificial intelligence are also being embraced.
I think that's a super point, Jason. Is there anything else that EdTech is doing or should be doing to help the educational institutions?
I would love to see the EdTechs continue to work with the education professionals. The classroom environments, who knows those environments better than the teaching professionals and what the students need and what they don't need. And so EdTechs working together and collaboratively as they do with education professionals to see how these tools can enhance the classroom, to enhance the learning experience, but also to have the proper guardrails being put up is definitely something that could be beneficial. And seeing the EdTechs dive deep into the learning assessment space, what educational tools and resources or pathways does a student need based on their academic performance? Can artificial intelligence make the process of evaluating that easier? Or even if there's online learning that's going on or certain, you know, online learning tools that the EdTechs are developing, what information could be gathered throughout the learning process and the educational process for a student that can be of benefit to their educator? Is there something that can be automated? Are there certain artifacts and intelligence that can be gained based on the data that's collected through the tools that can then be packaged up and handed to the educator so that she can utilize that in behalf of the student to make their performance better? That's something that can be equitably utilized in all sorts of academic environments in a way that really could benefit the students.
Excellent advice. And for the listeners, is this like the latest fad that's going to go away? If you look at the recent Gartner report on 2024 emerging technologies, of the 30 they listed, 10 of them were AI related over the next 6 years.
That emerging technologies report, the statistics from the Gartner survey, all of the technology conference, the artificial intelligence sessions are all filled to capacity. So we are in a full-fledged hype cycle of artificial intelligence. So just kind of in parting words, we always encourage customers to accelerate, don't deliberate, explore the art of the possible, embrace the reality of the feasible in your organization. We're certainly not looking for solutions, looking for problems, but more so problems to solve. So start with a specific organizational problem. As we do when we innovate and utilize any technology, it's got a purpose. And give the technology a purpose. Start with a specific problem to solve. Go through your exercises of how you evaluate technology inclusively with all of the stakeholders, all of your end users, all of the individuals who have a role in the organization. Build centers of excellence. We're starting to see, you know, artificial intelligence centers of excellence. What are the fundamental goals of our organization? What's our value alignment? What are our leadership principles? And how does this technology align with them? So experiment responsibly. Start small, think big, go fast, and utilize your partners. Amazon Web Services, our partner network, has thousands of partners in addition to all of the resources and tools that we have. We're here to support you in your journey.
It's great advice. I like the think big, start small, and scale fast. So I want to thank you for your expertise, and I hope that our listeners become exceptionally successful with this.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Conversations with Leaders, brought to you by AWS Executive Insights. For more on these topics, visit aws.amazon.com/executive insights. While there, visit our generative AI and ML page for more resources to help you unlock the value of generative AI for your business.